Hi, this is Adam Amin, and you're listening to Squash Masters, a junior squash podcast. In this podcast, we'll be interviewing junior squash players and coaches for their tips, tricks, and interesting stories. If you like what you hear, please subscribe. Welcome back to Squash Masters. On today's episode, we have Lachlan Sutton. Lachlan currently plays in BU17 and was number one in BU15. I'm a huge fan of Lachlan, and he's always been my inspiration. Lachlan, will you please introduce yourself?
So my name is Lachlan Sutton. I am in U17 and I'm ranked four.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when did you start playing squash? What age? And did you have any inspiration?
So I started playing squash when I was 5 years old, and I played tennis before then, and I just got into squash because there was like a wall at the tennis court, and I just like to hit the tennis ball against that wall.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I got into it.
Did you have anybody in your family who played squash?
I did not have anyone. I just started to get into it through tennis, and I just really love playing.
Mm-hmm. So what do you remember about your first tournament? If it was good, if it was bad?
So I remember my first tournament when I was younger, I think around 7 or 8 years old. I lost every single match. I think I got bageled 3 times, and it was a hard experience for me.
Yeah.
I started doing decent in them, winning a few matches when I was around 9 years old, but it was still really tough. But those first two tournaments were just like, I never really played a competitive sport before, and it was a good learning experience. So.
Did you think your confidence plummeted after that first tournament?
So, yeah, after the first tournament, I didn't really know what I wanted to do with squash. I didn't like playing tournaments because it just was a lot of stress for me. But it was all right. My confidence dropped a little, but eventually I got it back up and started playing tournaments again. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What other sports do you play, and what other sports did you play?
So I played soccer and baseball when I was from like, I stopped playing baseball last year and I stopped playing soccer, I think in fourth grade, but I played them pretty seriously. But eventually squash just became a top priority, but I picked up lacrosse this summer and I really like playing. So it's squash is a top priority and then lacrosse is below that.
Do you think those sports help you play squash and with the endurance and the hand-eye coordination?
Yeah. The endurance, which soccer required, and hand-eye coordination, which baseball required, really helped me in starting squash, and also tennis, just kind of learning how to hit the ball, even if it's not correct technique, it still helped. So, yeah, overall, yeah, those sports did.
Yeah. Yeah. How many times do you play a week? And do you find it hard to balance with your schoolwork?
So I play squash 6 times a week. I try to take Fridays off and try to play early on Saturdays and Sundays. So I have time to do other things later in the day. I spend around 2 hours at the courts in the mornings on Saturdays and Sundays. 1 hour spent in the gym, 1 hour spent on the courts. And then it depends. Sometimes it can be really hard to balance school with squash, especially on midterm and finals weeks. But it's all right. It's, I'm able to do it pretty well. And, yeah, do not play.
Do you think in the spring while playing lacrosse and stuff, do you think it's hard to balance with your squash practice and how many – and your date and your training?
Yeah, it is. It's definitely going to be a challenge. And I will try to play as much squash as I can during the season, but it will evidently be kind of hard to balance squash school and lacrosse spring. But it's after nationals, so it's not, I don't need to be training as much, but I still have to train.
Do you do any fitness or footwork or like soloing outside of your main training?
So yeah, soloing is pretty much my main training. Over the last few months, I've been doing basically pretty much only solo, and I've been working on my shots. I've been working on my endurance using like a speed ladder, running, and also ghosting. And I've also been for solo, I think it's really important to work on your deep shots, your shots to the back of the court, also your volleys and your attacking shots. And then ghosting towards the end of solo sessions is also important. So, yeah.
How would you approach someone in a match who doesn't really have good deep shots but has like amazing short shots and amazing hands? How would you approach them?
So, if that is the case, I don't think there are many kids like that in the JCTs. But if someone has really good hands, has good volleys, but just doesn't have a deep game, it's going to be really difficult for them to get farther in tournaments. Because if someone's like that, if you're able to just get the ball really tight and deep to the back of the court, if they don't have a good deep game, they will not be able to hit good shots from the back of the court. They won't be able to hit good rails. And through that, you can try to volley, you can try to attack. But also, if I was playing someone like that, I would just really try to get my length super deep. I wouldn't try to out-hit them, and I wouldn't try to like go to the front early. I would just try to get a really, really solid game to the back of the court, and then eventually go shorter. But yeah.
Where do you think is the most important kind of part of the game, like your movement, your shots, or your kind of endurance?
I think movement and endurance are the most important parts of squash, because if you're able to outlast your opponent, if you're able to just be confident that you have the endurance to outlast people, that can be a really good tool. And if you get tired easily, it's going to be super hard for you to play well towards the end of matches, and your opponent can just use a simple strategy to beat you, which is just to outlast you. Also, I think being able to have a good deep game is super, super important. And that's probably, in my opinion, the most important part of the most important shot is like the rail and the cross court.
That is really actually important. But how do you train for your endurance? Like, how do you train for that?
So what I do, I go to the gym, I use weights, but outside of weights, I do a lot of ghosting. I like time myself and try to go 10 minutes of ghosting straight, or build up to 10 minutes straight. I also bike or go on a stationary bike for 15 minutes, or and try to go at a pretty high like intense, I don't know what it's called, but a pretty high intensity on that bike.
Like the pretty high speed, yeah.
Yeah, and I also just do run. I think running helps a lot. Those are the three main ways or four main ways that I work on my endurance and speed. But yeah.
How do you recover after your like your gym sessions or your soloing sessions? Like, what do you eat?
So I try to eat a lot of protein, like chicken or rice or fish. It's really important to like get food back into your system immediately after you work out. Because if you burn, because of if you play squash, you're gonna have a really high metabolism, and you're gonna have to eat a lot, or you're gonna start burning muscle, and you definitely don't want to do that. So you want to eat a lot, eat as much as you can, would be my advice. And yeah.
yeah, I agree with that. You really have to like not try to eat and get, but also try to like not like be ready for your matches.
Yeah,
Do
yeah.
you do any flexibility training related to
Yes.
sh stretching and stuff?
I think stretching is super, super, super important. I can't emphasize that enough. A lot of times I lack on stretching, which is a bad thing, and I definitely need to do it more, because through stretching, you will almost, if you do it on a regular basis, you'll almost completely avoid your chance of injury, which is a big risk in squash. And I think stretching and just being flexible or working on your flexibility is super, super important. You can be like super great. You can be the best in the country, but if you get injured, it's no matter how good you are, it's going to be really, really hard to get back. And I've seen a lot of people get injured and just not being able to come back. So I think stretching is one of the most important aspects of squash.
Speaking of injuries, have you ever gotten an injury?
Yes. So I was last year at the British Open and the US Open. My calves cramped super bad. I didn't know what to do, and I wasn't stretching my calves at all, and I wasn't working on getting them stronger. And cramping was leading to me like not even being able to last three or four matches in tournaments, which is a really bad thing. Mm-hmm. So I needed to work on that. I needed to do calf raises, do a lot of stretching. And that was a pretty big issue for me last season, and kind of it was just an awful issue. So that's the main one.
Do you think that your injury kind of brought you back and like stronger?
Yeah. So I think through stretching and through strengthening my quad or calves, I was really able to move better. I was able to move quicker, and I just didn't have to worry about my calves cramping. We did a ton of things for the calves, but nothing was working. And eventually I just realized you need to stretch calves for a good amount of time each day, like 10 minutes each day, if what's happening to you is happening to me. And you also need to strengthen them and do more ghosting. So I think it did I definitely came back stronger after the calf thing. So, yeah.
Did you feel like you had a competitive edge on your opponents?
Just because I was ghosting more, I had more endurance, I did feel like I did.
Mm-hmm. So what's your longest match? And what did you tell yourself mentally?
So my longest match was a 1 hour and 45 minute match in California. And it was in U17, I was playing up, and the ball just didn't die in that match. And it was a really long, tough match. It was consolation semis. It wasn't even the main draw. But it was, I just told myself that you need to stay mentally strong, try to wait for him to hit the air, don't hit the air first. And also, because you couldn't really hit winning shots, just be patient, be super patient, and just wait for him to hit the air, just push through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Speaking of like playing above your age group, how do you approach those tournaments? Like, is it the same? Do you feel like it's the same as approaching your own age group, or do you kind of try new things?
So, I don't know. When I go into tournaments, I'm usually relaxed. I used to be super, super tense. I used to be just super nervous. I hated playing tournaments, but then this season I've just been trying to relax more, not being as attached, not checking the draws. For me, this helps, just not checking if I were like, I would recommend people trying this if they get really nervy around tournaments, just not checking the draws until the day of or the night of, forgetting that the tournament's going to happen, and just like trying to be as relaxed as possible. But previously I was super stressed, I was super uptight, but when I was able to play tournaments in the next age group, I was more relaxed because there was nothing to lose.
Mm-hmm.
And I really felt that when I was playing up. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, when I played my first above age tournament, I was really relaxed too. How do you think your like nerves affect your playing, like your actual squash?
So nerves is one of the most, like, they can lose you matches, in my opinion. Like, when I went to the British Open, it's the most stressful tournament I've ever played by any, everything. And when I went there, I was playing this kid who was ranked two. He was ranked in European rankings above the one seed. And I was playing him in the second round, but I didn't know European rankings don't mean anything. So I was super nervous. I was just a mess. I went down 5-love in the first game. I was out of breath. I was exhausted. And then eventually I loosened up and won that match. Mm-hmm. But nerves are just awful. They make you tired quicker. They also just really hurt how you're playing. You just hit harder. You don't think. Nerves are really bad.
Yeah. Sometimes when I play tournaments, I get some of the nerves and I can't really like think clearly.
Yeah.
And yeah.
You just hit the ball. And that's why I like to just try and stay as relaxed as possible when going into matches, just keeping the mindset like if you win, you played well, but if you lose, the other person played well, and just be a good, gracious opponent. Mm-hmm. Don't be a bad sport and just try to play better in your next match. It's not the end of the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not the end of the world. What's your worst match that you couldn't really like think and you didn't really have a game plan?
So it was in the tournament last year, in the semis. I just completely lost my game plan. I just was getting really mad. The ref wasn't giving me any calls. And it was just really, really difficult for me to stick to my game plan and actually capitalize on loose balls. And my opponent was getting in the way of a lot of shots and I wasn't getting calls. So I just kind of lost all my composure, lost everything I was doing. Mm-hmm. It was a really difficult match for me. But also at the U.S. Open, I played the one seed. I just had no idea what to do. I lost my composure and lost my game plan, which is really bad. But it was all right.
How do you approach players that are kind of better than you and have more experience?
So if I'm playing more experienced players, like kids I know who are better than me, I just try to – the goal when you're playing someone who you know is a lot better than you, say a college player, mm-hmm. or someone in that age group above you who is very good, is not to win the match. You don't want to be attached to winning. You just want to improve how you're playing. But say it's in your age group and you're playing, like, say the one seed. I don't know. You want to just keep a really – if it's in a tournament, you want to keep a really – solid plan. You don't want to be giving him errors or loose balls, and that's pretty much the strategy I use against anyone who I know is a really good player, and I always try to do that. But just not going short too early, staying calm, and when you lose games, it's all really important to just start over the next mm-hmm. game. Don't live into the last game.
People tell me to like go one point at a time and not focus on the last thing you did.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What's your best comeback story that you were like all hope was lost and you couldn't do anything but you came back?
So there are two that I have in mind, and one is the U.S. Open. And when I was an under 13, I was playing this like 6'4" Egyptian kid, and this is an under 13 too. He destroyed me the first two games, and I really struggled to understand what he was doing. I was down 10-7 or 10-8 in this third game, and I ended up winning 12-10. Mm-hmm. Then I was down, I think 10-7 in the third game, in the fourth game, and I won 12-10. Mm-hmm. And then in the fifth game, he just like kind of ran into me by accident. I didn't take an injury break, and he played super well in that game. He got up 10-3, and 10-3, 2-all. I was just like, just end the tournament well. You had a good tournament. Just just end the tournament well, try your best, just hit deep, get the ball to the back of the court, and just be positive and just take it one point at a time. And I came back to 10-0. He went up 11-10. I tied it at 11-0 and won 13-11.
Yeah, that's crazy. That was one of
the biggest wins. And then also at the British Open, when I beat the 2 seed in the round of 16, that was really unexpected. Or 2 seed in the round of 32. And it was one of the bigger U.S. upsets that whole tournament. So that was really great. And then, like, just coming back from 2 locked down against him, he was hitting super good shots. Just, like, I was able to get my length super good, and I was just able to volley more and be more positive than he was, and I ended up winning that match. It's a great feeling, but, yeah.
How do you think kind of your upbeat mentality affected the opponent? Did you think it made their confidence go down, or do you think they cared at all?
I feel like if you show your opponent you're not getting tired, if you show your opponent you're getting all his shots, if you show your opponent that you're positive, you're not going to give up, it's going to be really hard for him mentally to keep doing the same thing he's doing, keep winning points. And a lot of times you start hitting errors. And just having a good mindset, being positive is super important, and it's just super important in how you play the game, because it really helps. It will have like a negative effect on your opponent, and it will also really help you play good squash. So
I agree with that. Do you have an inspiration in sports or in squash?
Yeah, I. Like an inspirational figure, like
mm-hmm,
a person.
Yeah.
So there are a few that I hold really highly. I think Paul Call is, I really like how he plays. Kind of like, I like his attitude on court. I also like, I like Mustafa Asal.
Mm-hmm.
I saw him play in the British Open. He's a beast.
He's crazy.
I think he's gonna be number one in the world.
I just
he's probably one of the most inspirational squash players that for me, and along with Paul Call. So yeah, that's it.
Do you have any tips for beginners that might
be
listening?
So it's awesome if you're starting squash. It's an awesome sport. You should learn the basics with a coach. You should definitely have a coach when you're starting squash. You should have a coach for however long is great for you. And I think it's also good to do solo practice, work on your drives, work on your basic game, also work on everything. And also having fun when you're starting squash is the most important part. Because I've seen kids burn out really early, and you don't want to burn out.
You don't.
Just have fun playing. Just be positive, have a good time.
What would you tell yourself if you were, like, when you were 9 years old?
I would tell myself to, like, kind of get my attitude together. I got really mad on court, and it was just a terrible thing to do. Just being a bad sport is probably the worst thing, in my opinion, that you can do. You can be like the best squash player, but if you're not a good person, not a good sport, and you're a dirty player, that's the worst possible thing you can be.
Mm-hmm.
So I just tell myself, be respectful to your opponent. Always shake hands and just like congratulate your opponent. Be a gracious loser if you do lose, but also don't ever throw your racket, and don't do anything that will make you look bad on court, because that's
yeah, it just doesn't like feel good.
Yeah.
What's the shot that you always lose to that like you hate?
So last tournament it was the Boast. This kid's Boast, the kid I played in the semifinal. I won the first game like 11-4. In the second game he just started using this Boast. I just couldn't see it. I don't know, I might have been tired or something. But it was super effective. I The next day I started getting that boast. The other kid had the same kind of boast. I started reading it better, but that day his boast was just really good and I just couldn't see it. So that's probably, if there would be a shot, that's probably it.
And do you think you can like practice getting that shot, or is it just like you just have to see it more?
I just need to kind of see it more, because his drive, he didn't change his swing, so I couldn't see it, and I just wasn't aware enough to, or awake enough to see he was hitting the boast, or get ready on the tee for the boast, so, yeah.
What's your favorite shot that you love to annoy people with?
It's the cross court nick, because not only does it feel really good to hit a nick, but it also wins you the point and it can shift the momentum towards you, your side. Just like the deep shots are super important. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think kind of the cross court nick helps you like get your confidence if you're down maybe? Because when I was playing my last tournament, I was down in like the fourth game, and I hit a cross court nick, and I think that helped me like regain my confidence.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So, hit one shot can really change the course of your game. It can change if you hit a really good shot. It can like give you some confidence. It can kind of bring you back into the match. Also, if your opponent hits an error, what I've seen a lot is I might be ahead, my opponent might be ahead, but they can hit one error, especially when you get into 17s and 19s. One error can really lead to just a complete shift in momentum. It can give like your opponent hope, which you don't want to do. But the opposite is hitting a cross court nick can also give you a lot of confidence.
What's your goal in 2 years? Where do you want to be? Do you want to?
I want to win another JCT. That would be awesome. but I want to be top four in U19. That would be really cool. And I also kind of want to get recruited by a college. And yeah, those are probably my two main goals, but yeah.
How are you planning to achieve those goals? What are you going to do in squash wise and also mentality and fitness wise?
So I'm going to like try to go to the gym more, try to put some muscle mass on so I can last longer in tournaments and matches. I'm also going to try to do more ghosting, get my ghosting times up, and just overall improve my shots, improve my backhand volley, and try to take more volleys when I'm playing matches. So that those are probably the two main things that I will work on over time.
Do you think playing international tournaments is good for you, or do you not really think like it helps a lot?
So I don't like playing them. I think the British Open is the only exception for me, because that tournament really, the best of the best kids are there. Kids who will be number one in the world as pros. It's just really amazing to watch. You'll see some of the, I saw Mustafa saw play matches. I just saw him dispatch everyone, and it was really, a really good experience. But overall, I'm not a fan of international tournaments because they oftentimes don't give U.S. players good draws. Like, I got a pop draw, and I just don't. There's just a ton of stress and pressure on you. I just don't think it's worth it, in my opinion. But
when I played an international tournament, my draw was terrible for some reason. Yeah, it's horrible. Do you have any last comments on any of the questions?
No. You're playing great, Adam. I was watching you
at
the U.S. Open and last tournament, and just keep playing, keep playing, keep loving the sport.
Yeah, so, thank you.
Yeah,
so thank you for coming on the show. That was Lachlan Sutton in BU17. Hey, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the episode, you can subscribe to our show on Apple, Spotify, or anywhere you listen to your podcasts.